branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
And welcome to the show that answers the important small business marketing questions like, is Facebook more important than Google for your business? That's one of the topics we'll discuss in this spellbinding episode of Power to the Small Business. Hello, my name is Jay Arrett. I am your humble host of the big show, the internet show that's all about small business marketing. My company is The Marketing Spot and can be found at themarketingspot.com. The podcast website is powertothesmallbusiness.com. It's where you can find all the show notes and links from today's episode, number 66, Getting Your Business in the Facebook Game. My guest today is Thomas Umstadt of Umstadt Media, a web marketing company based in Austin, Texas. Now, I'll link to his site in the show notes, but you spell his last name Umstadt. Now you see why you need the show notes. Thomas is an award-winning speaker, and he teaches people how to use technology. He also runs AuthorTechTips.com, a resource for authors timid about technology. Now, I saw Thomas at the end of August at Social Media Breakfast in Austin, where he was one of the presenters, and he talked about Facebook optimization. That's an interesting term, and it's also one that might raise your hype antennae alert buttons. But watching Thomas' presentation, I was convinced, and I corralled him after the presentation and said, hey, we got to do a podcast together. Now, I'm not part of the social media will save your business crowd, but I do think that Facebook is becoming an increasingly more important marketing tool for your business. More important than Google and search engines? Maybe, in some ways. Let's bring on Thomas Umstadt and discuss. And we go to the Skype line now. We're waiting for us is Thomas Umstadt from Austin, Texas. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the big show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Let's just open up the conversation by talking about the importance of Facebook to a local business, to small business marketing. How important is it right now?
Well, Facebook is vital. And the biggest reason that it's vital is because it's the most popular site on the web. So Facebook.com gets more visitors every month than Google.com. And most small businesses understand the power of being ranked highly on Google, and you know, search engine optimization is a $1 billion industry. But what people don't realize is that Google is no longer kind of the big gorilla. I mean, they're still the big gorilla, but they're no longer number one. People are visiting Facebook.com more, and they're spending more time there. And so how your small business looks on Facebook, what people are saying about you, is just as important, or and is becoming more and more important as how you look on Google.
Yeah, I think people just don't understand how important Facebook is to their business profile and to their business presence. Most people, I think it's, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but I think more than half the people check their Facebook profile every day, or they check their wall almost every day.
That's right. The numbers of people and how engaged they are just off the charts. People, the most interesting thing for people is themselves, and Facebook allows them to have their own place on the web. While they're doing that, they're talking about businesses, and they spend a lot of time listening to what their friends have to say about, oh, I just went to this great restaurant, or this car dealership really ripped me off. And that gets around a lot more now than it ever used to in the past.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your role, or the business's role, on Facebook, because as popular as Facebook is, and as much as people talk about other businesses, they don't join Facebook to be marketed to. They don't like, hey, let me get on Facebook so a bunch of businesses can contact me and sell me and market to me. They get on for the social aspect. So let's talk about the role of a business on Facebook itself. What do you recommend that people do, or what role should Facebook take in their marketing?
Well, the first thing I would say is to learn to listen. So if your customers are talking about you on Facebook, and the chances are that they are talking about you, you want to know what they're saying and use tools to listen to them. It's easier on Twitter to listen than it is on Facebook, because for some people they have their privacy settings set low, but you can search Facebook for the name of your company and see what people are saying and then respond to that. So if someone's complaining about, you know, how they've been treated by one of your employees, you want to hear that on Facebook and deal with it, you know, nip it in the bud, so to speak, and not let it grow into something of a big problem. And on the flip side, if someone is really being an advocate for your business, or they're checking in a whole lot at your business at Facebook Local, you may want to reach out to them and give them special bonuses or give them special discounts just so that they feel appreciated and to encourage that positive buzz.
Yeah, you just want to get in the game, first of all, right? You want to be part of the conversation. You don't want to be standing on the sidelines while people may or may not be talking about you.
That's right. You don't want to be the Amway guy who goes to the networking event and just hands out business cards and tries to sell everyone. And even Amway teaches their people not to do that, but we all know that guy, and you don't want to be that guy on Facebook. And so learning to listen first is vital. And a lot of small businesses that I work with, they just want to get on there and spam the list, and they use words like blast. Like, I want to blast all my Facebook friends. That's the wrong thinking. You want to be attractive, not pushy.
Right.
There's kind of an art of attracting people to you, and it can be summed up in one simple statement, and that is provide value. Mm-hmm. Now, providing value is not an easy thing to do, and it will be different depending on how what business you're in. But somehow, people need to benefit from your page. You have to have a clear answer to the question, what's in it for me? And that may be discounts, it may be news on what's going on in the industry, it may be something that's funny. Humor spreads very well on Facebook. If there's someone in your organization who has got a great sense of humor, give them, you know, a voice on your Facebook page. Allow them to kind of allow your company to have personality. Companies with personalities spread better on Facebook than those who are dry and dull. And I would say that it's easier to sell as a salesperson from a company that has personality too. So you may want to kind of consider the whole brand of your business. Do we want to have personality?
Yeah, one thing I like to recommend to businesses who decide they want to get on Facebook is remember it's called social media. And if you're just going to use your Facebook page as an ad, like you would put an ad in a newspaper, then you're not using it to its fullest extent, and you're not using it the way that your fans or your potential fans are using Facebook, and that is to be social, to have their own personality and their own presence in social media. So there's a lot of focus on discounts and coupons, and I wrote about this recently on my blog, and I think there's too much emphasis on discounts and coupons. What do you think of the role of discounts on Facebook?
They're a good place to get started, but they're not, you shouldn't end there. You don't want to like pitch your tent on coupons, but it's easy to get started for a couple of reasons. One is that the metaphor of coupons is something that we already know. If you're not tech savvy, you do know what a coupon is. And so taking coupons instead of putting them out on paper, putting them out online can be helpful. And the second thing is that coupons are measurable. So let's say you're doing, you know, three different coupons targeting three different groups of people, or releasing one on Facebook, one on paper. You can see, oh, this Facebook coupon got twice as many people into the store as this paper one, or the other way around. So in that sense, they're nice, but you can overdo it, and you can kind of devalue your brand and train people not to buy your product unless they have a coupon first, which, I mean, I know businesses in town that that's their model. I think Genie Car Wash, I don't know if anyone ever goes there without a coupon because they just put coupons everywhere. But you may not want to be Genie Car Wash. That may not fit your brand as a company.
Right. And if you start framing your business as the discount business, then you start conditioning people to only go there when they get a discount, and then they just wait for your discount before they do business with you.
That's right.
Well, discounting and coupons may be one way to go, but you said you want to give your business a personality on Facebook, and how do you recommend businesses can do that?
Well, what's wonderful about the kind of the new Facebook, so to speak, is that businesses can have pages now. That's a lot like a personal page in the sense that you have a status update, you have a wall that people can write on. And what I encourage businesses to do is to share status updates that are interesting to read. So not something dull like we just cleaned the windows today, but something. And what is interesting to your people? Let's say you're a law firm and you're working with, you know, patent law. That would seem like a really boring topic, but not to the people who are interested in it. And if I'm the kind of person who's really interested in patent law, I'm going to be very much wanting to know what the developments are. You know, Microsoft just lost this big patent lawsuit, and I want to know the details. And so one of the things you have to realize with Facebook is you're not trying to please everyone.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you really can't. because the more broad you are, the more you compete with the big players. But the more that you focus, the more you can really thrill a tiny group of people. And what's wonderful about Facebook is that a tiny group out of a bucket of 500 million is still a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so you may be talking about patent law, and you're like, who would be interested in patent law? And you're like, oh my gosh, there's thousands of people who are interested in patent law. And by kind of positioning ourselves as the experts in patent law in Austin, we're top of mind when someone's like, oh, I need a patent. I'm going to go to, you know, this firm that I see on Facebook sharing all of this helpful advice.
Yeah, that's a great point. And another thing I think is what you might think is boring because you're inside the business all the time may not be so boring to the people on the outside. I was talking to a local business owner, a dry cleaner owner, not too long ago, and he says, well, what should I post on there? And I said, hey, pull back the curtains a little bit and tell people what happens behind the scene at a dry cleaner, because I think it's kind of a mystery. People don't know what dry cleaning really is. Hey, go back and take a video of what dry cleaning is, or show people, pull back the curtains, and let them see some of the mystery behind the process that you do.
Absolutely. I remember being in business school, we had the owner of a dry cleaning company come and speak to our class one time, and we were all spellbound for an hour as he talked about dry cleaning, because there's all these different processes, and it really was very interesting. And for a lot of businesses, especially anything that involves you making something with your hands, pulling back that curtain is going to help. But you're like, well, we don't build anything interesting. How can we pull back that curtain? Well, one way is to introduce people to your employees. You know, go around with the flip cam and just let your employees talk about what they love with their job. One company, if you're looking for examples of how to do this well, HubSpot does a great job using video and using Facebook. And they're a B2B. Everyone's like, oh, you can't do B2B on Facebook. And you can. You just can't be boring. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that B2B is code for boring to boring. And and so everything is so sanitized. Everything is so boring. And they just have such a hard time marketing it, just in general, but especially on Facebook, where boring dies. But if you get away from that and say, you know, we can be interesting as a B2B company, because even we're not selling to businesses, we're selling to people in businesses. And once you make that adjustment in your head, being social and using social media for B2B and just B2B marketing in general gets easier.
And again, having a personality. So don't post like you're a robot, you know, posting a status update. We are open at 9 o'clock today or something like that. You want to talk like a person behind the scenes. A lot of times, for example, on my Facebook page, I'll tell what went into my thinking behind the blog post that I posted that day. And so I try to talk more like a person than a business on my Facebook page.
And that's another key thing to mention, is that Facebook is a good tool. A blog is often just as good, if not better. And Facebook can be a great way of promoting and connecting your blog with the Facebook community. I have clients where 50% of their blog traffic comes from Facebook. They do an initial share of the link, and then that link gets reshared in the Facebook community. And people are just used to coming to their blog after seeing a link to it on Facebook. And so if you can imagine, before they were on Facebook, they weren't getting that kind of traffic. And so by connecting your blog with Facebook and sharing and connecting, doing that sort of thing like what you're mentioning, can be a huge increase in traffic. Business websites with blogs get 50% more traffic than business websites without blogs, which is a lot more traffic. And so if you're running a business website and you're like, how can we get more traffic to our site? One easy way is to start a blog, and then you promote that blog on Facebook.
We're talking with Thomas Umstadt. He is CEO of Umstadt Media, a web marketing company based in Austin, Texas, and he also runs authortechtips.com. Thomas, I saw you at the social media breakfast in Austin a couple months ago, and you brought up a term that I thought was really interesting, Facebook optimization. What did you mean by that, and how do we do Facebook optimization?
Well, Facebook, a few years ago, I guess about a year and a half to 2 years ago, introduced this secret algorithm when they broke off top news from most recent. And so when you go to Facebook, you no longer see all of your friends' status updates like you used to. Most people, when they go to Facebook, they see top news, which is what Facebook thinks is most interesting to you right now. And you have to click on most recent, which is this other tab, to kind of see that chronological listing. And so Facebook optimization is the art of learning how to find out, wind up in top news. Because if you're in most recent, you get perhaps 10% of the traffic that you would get if you're in top news. And getting into top news for more people is the key to having a successful Facebook presence and getting your message out on your page. And what puts you into top news is a variety of kind of components to the algorithm, so to speak. So in many ways, it's a bit like search engine optimization in the sense that it's fairly complex of an algorithm. The algorithm is fairly complicated, but there are a few components that have a huge impact. And the first one is likes. How many likes are your status updates getting? If you post something and it only gets one or two likes, it's probably not in anyone's top news. But if you're getting dozens or hundreds of likes, it's much more likely that you're going to get a lot more people, kind of, you're going to wind up higher. And the other wonderful thing about likes is that as people like your post, their friends are more likely to see your post. So let's say there's five friends, then they're all following your page. Well, if one of them likes your post, the other four have a much higher likelihood of seeing your post than they would have before those likes. And so there's kind of this winner-takes-all system where the more likes you get, the more likes you get because it spreads and gets onto more people's top news. And comments as well work a lot like likes in the sense that the more comments you get, the more comments you will get. Not just because it shows up on more people's top news, but as people start to comment, a conversation can evolve. And that's the real magic of Facebook, is where your Facebook page or your status update becomes a gathering place for people to talk about something that they have in common interest.
And just another reason then for you to have a personality, to be more personal, and not just post simple status updates. You want to post things that people might like and might comment on.
Exactly, and ask questions. Mm-hmm. Typically, one of the best kind of status updates that gets a lot of comments is a question. And those asking questions, one, it can be great market research. So we just released the new strawberry shortcake ice cream. What do you think? And people are like, oh, I love it. I hate it. I think it's too sweet, blah, blah, blah. That's great market research from your actual customers. Mm-hmm. Not only that, the people who haven't tried your new strawberry shortcake ice cream are going to be curious now to try it, especially if they see all of this buzz on Facebook, and so they'll want to go and check it out. And also, it can help your blog as you're asking questions and listening what questions other people are asking. You'll get ideas for new blog posts to share for your blog that provide value for those people asking those questions.
Last week, I asked a simple question on my Facebook page, do you have a dress code? Talking about the importance of dress and branding, and I got a bunch of comments on it, just a simple little question like that. But it's something that I think my readers might be interested in too, and I think that's one thing that a business has to think about on their Facebook pages, not what do I want to say to people, but what might my customers or potential customers.
It takes a bit of courage to allow that feedback from your customers. A lot of small business owners are convinced that if they allow their customers to write on their wall, that they're just going to write negative things. So they hide that wall, so you have to press a special button to see what visitors are saying. And that's kind of backwards thinking for a couple reasons. One, if you do that, you are only going to get the negative people, because the positive people don't want to bother leaving a comment if it's just going to be hidden away. But two, another one of the components of the algorithm is previous interactions. Has that person, if someone writes on your wall, you're much more likely to show up in their top news in the future. And so encouraging people to write on your wall and having that be a place where people can interact with each other is really important. So you don't want to hide that away. And if you've got a Facebook page as a business, it's hidden by default. And you can change that in the settings where the wall shows posts by the page and by visitors. And some people may be trolls, and you may have to delete a few offensive posts every now and again, but it's totally worth the time in the increased interactions that you get on your Facebook page.
But being involved in Facebook allows you to sort of be a moderator of the conversation about your business. If you're not participating, it's not that people aren't going to talk about you if they're going to talk negatively about you, but having a presence allows you to sort of moderate that conversation and encourage positive conversation too.
That's right. I had a friend who bought a big screen TV and an Xbox for his son or they had it in their living room. And his reasoning was, is I want my house to be the house that all the boys come to hang out. I want the play to happen here so I can keep an eye on it. I don't want them, you know, hanging out somewhere else where I can't see them. And in a sense, you want that with your customers as well. If you want people complaining about your business, you want it to happen where you can see it and take care of it right away on your Facebook page, not on Yelp, not on Google, where these ratings last forever and can really hurt your business. And you want your place to be the cool hangout. If you become the cool hangout in town, physically or online, that's a huge win because people come to you automatically. You're top of mind. That's a lot. I mean, your competitors are spending big money on TV and radio trying to get the sort of top of mind you can get for free by just being the place where people gather and to hang out with their friends.
Well, Thomas, as we wrap up here, give me Thomas Umstadt's best practices for Facebook. Tell us if you were starting or you recommend to your clients they start a Facebook page, what are some of the things you recommend they do when they get started?
Well, the first is to pick a good name for your page. You cannot change the name of your page once you set it up. And so this is something that you're married to for the rest of forever. Everything else on the internet can be changed, but the name of your page cannot be changed, and also the username of your page. So you want to get one, and you want to get a good one. So a username is facebook.com/, and then a word. So like facebook.com/ your company name. So if you go to facebook.com/Toyota, it goes to Toyota's page. They got a good name. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to pick a good photo. The image that you have on the side really does affect how many people become a fan. Is it a logo or something that draws people in? If you don't really have a recognizable logo, you might consider putting some people on that photo because faces work well there. The second is I would change, click on your Facebook page, click on options, and make sure that fans of your page can comment on your wall and for it to be public. Again, you want to try to encourage that dialogue. You want to search every once in a while on Facebook and see what people are saying about your business. And lastly, consider advertising, because it's hard to get started if you don't have any fans. People don't want to go to the empty bar, and so sometimes you have to spend some money up front to draw people in at first. And Facebook advertising can be very effective if you do it right. And doing it right means testing lots and lots of versions of each ad. So having dozens of ad variations that you're testing to see what works and what doesn't. And having some sort of optimized landing page there on Facebook that when people click on the ad, they go to a page on your Facebook page that says, here's our business. This is why you should become a fan. This is what's in it for you. Clear value statement right up front.
And Facebook really has a good advertising interface for it's user-friendly, too. And so you can look at who you're targeting and how much money you want to spend. It really gives the user a lot of control.
That's right. And you don't need a whole lot of money to get started. So if you have a $200 advertising budget for your small business, I would go spend the first $20 on Facebook marketing for dummies. And I'd spend the second $180 buying Facebook ads and just fiddling with it and trying to figure it out. And you can get tens of thousands of impressions with just a few dozen dollars, a couple hundred dollars, you can get in front of thousands of people on Facebook. It's not very expensive. And at first, you're not going to be very good, and you won't figure out how it works. But if you fiddle with it, and if you read and Google Facebook marketing tips, after a while, you'll find that without a whole lot of money, you can really have a powerful presence on Facebook that can help build your business.
Okay, Thomas, thanks for all that information. If people want to learn more about you, your company, where can they go?
Umstadt Media. It's U-M-S-T-A-T-T-D Media, MEDIA.com. We have some tips up there, and we do mostly websites and branding for small businesses and authors. That's kind of our focus. And then I have a lot of tips, including how to set up your Facebook page and a lot of just how-to step-by-step guides on authortechtips.com. The website is written specifically for authors, but there's a lot of stuff there for small business owners as well.
Okay, and we will link to Thomas's pages in the show notes of the podcast. So, Thomas, again, thanks for being on Power to the Small Business.
Thanks for having me.
So, is your business on Facebook yet? I think it's time you get your business in the Facebook game. The participation numbers are staggering, but the sheer numbers alone are not what make Facebook so inviting. It's the conversation that takes place on Facebook. It's like Conversation Grand Central Station. Being in the Facebook game allows you to not just Participate in the conversation, but encourage it, moderate it. It's one of those word-of-mouth machines. Now, just a couple of caveats, though. You've probably heard me say this before, but they call it social media for a reason. Do not launch a Facebook page if you're not going to be social. Don't launch a Facebook page and then never post to it, or only post once a week with something boring like your hours of operation or TGIF. Simple participation doesn't cut it. Facebook is not something you do when you have time. If you're going to play the game, then play the game. Otherwise, just stay on the sidelines. Devote your time to something else. So this week, consider getting in the Facebook game. I like the fall weather. It's cool. It's crisp. But it's also conference season. So I'm off to Blog World and New Media Expo next week in Las Vegas. Always fun. Thousands of bloggers and marketing geeks running around. And it's Vegas, baby. Not speaking there, but I am helping out with the Network Solutions Blogger Lunch. Then when I get back, it's off to the Texas Self-Storage Association Annual Conference in Fort Worth, where I'll conduct a mini workshop on branding. In November, I'll be in Austin speaking to the Writers League of Texas about giving your brand or your book a longer shelf life. Then it's off to Quebec for the National Golf Course Owners Association Canada to lead a workshop on building your marketing plan. If you need a speaker for your conference, industry, or trade association event, you can contact me at jay@themarketingspot.com. Complete show notes for this episode can be found at powertothesmallbusiness.com. You also have the opportunity there to leave a comment. And don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. Let the big show come to you. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of the Internet Show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the Internet Show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the Internet Show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
And special thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of the Big Success Podcast for creating the opening and closing voiceovers of Power to the Small Business. You can find Mary Lynn at the Big Success Show, BIGGSuccess.com.